If you're looking for a new TV show, which, hey, aren't we all? You got to check out TLC's show, Outdaughtered. It's a hit show. It's Amy here. And let me tell you, Adam and Danielle Busby, they have six daughters. The oldest is six, and she's the ringleader of her quintuplet sisters. That's right. There's five of them, and they're turning two. They're walking, talking, potty training. Welcome to Terrible Tuesdays on a new season of Outdaughtered, premiering July 11th at 9, 8 Central on TLC.
Bobby Bones, everybody.
Transmitting across America.
This is Bobby Bones Show.
Come on, Bobby.
Welcome to Friday's show. Good morning, studio.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. What are I going to do today? I have no idea.
Okay.
Do you have any plans?
I'm doing a little girls' night.
No, I mean for the show today.
Oh, I got an idea.
What's that?
I mean, I'd probably like to dance.
Oh, yeah, dance party.
No,
we do
serious.
That.
Oh, well, you said I was being serious. I like
oh,
to
let
dance.
Me see. I got tons of stuff I've seen you before. They're not going
oh, boy, here's a rejected note segment.
Oh,
I love
oh
it.
Boy.
You know, for a week or so, we were talking about our life mottos. Like, what is it? And I've been trying to get mine to stick. And boy, has it ever. Everywhere I go, people are like, 100% or none percent. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's my new motto.
Yeah.
And so some other people have theirs. Here's Jennifer. Jennifer in Sherwood. What do you think about this? Like, what's your life rule? Number one rule.
My mom taught me to kill them with kindness.
That's a tough one. And that's a good one if you can do it. But man, when, yeah. When people get all up in your butt, you're like, I don't want to be kind to them. But it's tough.
Yes, it is.
How do you do that? Are you pretty good at killing them with kindness?
I've had my moments of not being so good with that. But
can you go 70% though? That's a pretty good rate if you can go 70%.
I'd say I could do 70%.
Oh, that's a good ooh number right there. 70% is a good number. Hey, thank you for calling. I appreciate you, Jennifer.
Appreciate you.
Let's go over to Patrick real quick here on the show. Hey, Patrick.
Yeah, man.
What's happening?
What's going on?
Man, just asking life. Chill. What's your life rule?
Oh, well, when in doubt, do it anyway. You might learn something.
When in doubt, do it anyway.
Huh.
Exactly. Seems, I'm going to be honest with you. Patrick, seems a little risky.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about it is, don't it apply to just about everything in life?
There's a lot of stuff I doubt.
When in doubt,
just
do it anyway.
That's his rule, not ours.
Yeah.
Because mine is 100% to none or none percent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have I said that yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, a few times.
100% or none percent?
None percent.
That's why I said none.
Yeah.
Okay. I said none. None.
I'm so stupid.
Get the motto right, Amy.
Patrick, thank you. I appreciate you, buddy.
Appreciate y'all, man.
All right, buddy.
Patrick's makes me think of one that I have to apply, and it's for directions. Like, whatever you're thinking you should do, do the opposite. I always go the wrong way with my gut instinct.
Mm-hmm.
So I just need to, whatever I think I should do on the road, do the opposite.
Good plan. You should probably do that, like, just for most things.
Yeah. Cool.
Like organization.
I'm organized.
Parking.
Yeah.
Just tough.
Bobby Bones.
Come on.
Recognizing people doing cool things.
It's ICU.
I think what they're doing with drones is amazing. From taking pictures to dropping rafts to people that are drowning.
Life-saving rafts. Mm-hmm.
A drone helped find two missing hikers and a dog. You know, think about that. Like, where you would normally go searching or maybe a helicopter and it takes... They just flew some drones over.
Like video drones, and then they watched the footage? Or
the Douglas County Search and Rescue Team spotted the hikers using a drone with a camera on it.
Wow.
After hiking around Devil's Head for several hours. By the way, doesn't sound like the safest head to walk around. Of all the heads to head to camp, Devil's Head probably not the safest.
Yeah.
The two men and their dog found themselves lost, and they couldn't call 911 because on top of Devil's Head, there's no service.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah. Of all the heads to have service, Devil's Head's not the one. So 2 hours after they went out, the drone was like, we got them. They had the cameras on them.
You know you have a drone with a camera.
I have a drone. I don't touch that thing.
I gave it to you.
I'll go to jail because I'll fly it somewhere I shouldn't. I'll for sure go, restricted airspace, arrest that guy. Secondly, I'll crash it.
Okay, if you learn how to use it, it could be cool.
What am I going to do with it?
Oh, I don't know.
Am I going to take a picture of my dog in the backyard?
Listen, whatever. You don't have to use it. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. I see you.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go.
I got a candle, and the candle was tobacco and musk.
Mm.
I was like, what?
Who thought of those two terrible things to make a candle out of?
I've actually smelt that before.
Is it good?
I don't like tobacco smell. I don't like musk smell.
It's a manly candle.
But
I threw it away.
Oh, you didn't like it.
I gave it away.
Yeah, I gave it away.
Whatever. It's a terrible... Like, why not farts and feet? Like, I think that's better than tobacco and musk.
Huh.
Okay. Like, is there a market for these awful smelling mixtures?
No, it's definitely a manly candle.
Okay, so are farts and feet.
What? Yeah.
There is a market for tobacco and musk, for sure.
I thought it was a good smell when I smelt it.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Don't like it. Like, smell me? That's musky. Don't like it. Don't
Bobby
like tobacco smell.
Peonies and vanilla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Or just, I like leather. That's a good smell.
Yeah.
Leather, or I would like leather and gasoline. If you want to make a good man candle.
You should go on the candle line. You're good at these names.
A propane candle.
Yeah.
It just smells like your house is all full of propane.
Propane and carbon monoxide.
Now you all got jokes.
Hey, you should write with us.
Should I? Yeah. This is
the Bobby Bones Show.
All right, time for your positivity here on Friday morning. It's called Tell Me Something Good for a reason. We have good news to bring you.
Tell me something good.
All right, so Charles Kingsley had finished his overnight shift as a security officer. He was driving home when he got pulled over by a Minnesota police officer. His headlights were out. So instead of a ticket, the officer gave him a voucher to get the lights fixed for free.
Oh.
And that's what these cops are doing. They're giving vouchers. If someone's lights are out and they had to pull them over anyway, for like 30 days, they're giving vouchers because they're working with a place. And
that's awesome.
Oh, they've partnered up. I love it.
Yes. Yeah, that's cool. Amy, you're up.
Kids in Utah will no longer have to worry about the police shutting down their lemonade stands under a new state law they passed. Well, kids can now sell lemonade, which is awesome because in a lot of states, you get in trouble.
If I were an adult, I'd get a kid. I'd have him front my business.
What? What?
I'd get a kid and have him front my business.
Called working the system.
Stop. Yeah. No.
That's a good, I mean, it's
they just don't
the reason
a
was, you know, permits and kids would have lemonade stands. They're like, you have a permit to have, serve food. So they passed the law.
Right.
Little being the businessman that I am, I try to be like, hey, kid.
Okay.
I catch in.
Smart.
Yeah. Lunchbox.
Jack Kilway has been an usher for the Akron Rubber Ducks for the last 20 years. He's 82 years old, and he's retiring.
Wow.
And the Aero Ducks are a minor league baseball team. So, this weekend, the giveaway at the park, a Jack Kilway bobblehead.
That's awesome. That's pretty funny. Like, that's got to be the thrill of that guy's life.
Yeah.
He has his own night, and they're giving away a bobblehead of him.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Even just to be given a bobblehead of yourself, one to you, is gotta be cool, but they're giving them to everybody too. That's cool. See, there's good news. You can find it out there.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Lincoln, Nebraska. A 19-year-old man is facing up to a $10,000 fine after he got tired of sitting in traffic. There was some construction going on. There's cones. He's like, you know what? I'm going around the cones.
Mm.
Only problem is they had poured.
Oh, I saw the picture.
What?
Yeah.
Fresh concrete.
Fresh concrete. Car got stuck.
Oh, it's, yeah. No.
It's like the car drove into a big thing of mud.
No.
It's like up halfway to the wheel. Yeah. But it's concrete. That's correct. It's halfway at the wheel.
That's not good.
No, he went around the cones. It was like, it was stuck. Oh.
Oh, man.
Amazing.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
Get your Bobby Bones on.
Follow Bobby on Snapchat. Username Bobby Bones Show.
Come on, y'all.
Yesterday, I was on Twitter, and they had the hashtag bad proposal locations.
Mm.
And so people were hashtagging and putting where they were proposed to, and they were like, oh, not good. And I'm going to come to you guys in a minute and get your proposal locations, your real ones, because I still don't think Lunchbox is telling the truth about his. He says he did it over the phone, remember?
Oh, yeah. I was about to say, what did you do?
So we'll go around the room, because I'm curious to know where you guys did your or had your proposal. But these are some of the ones that I picked up. And if you're a listener and you had a bad one, call us. 877-77-BOBBY. One, the airport. I mean, I don't know. That's terrible.
Yeah.
If, like, they're leaving to go for a, like, they're getting deployed. Yeah. Or you're getting deployed.
And or they're just like, arriving and you surprise them?
Not like the arrival.
Oh, you know?
Yeah, it's got to be on the go. Oh, okay. It's got to be on the go.
What?
Yeah, because if you're on the arrival, you can go somewhere cool. But if you're
okay.
The On the Bachelor was one of them.
Oh, like, oh that's
what,
a good
what
one.
A terrible place.
Good one.
On the Jumbotron was up there a lot.
Mm.
You know, if the baseball team or a game means a lot to you, like, I'm cool with that. But I think some guys just think that that's romantic to girls, and it's not.
Yeah, she better love that. And you better be super confident she's going to say yes. I'm talking Jumbotron.
The thing is, I think guys just think if they do it and it's public, that it's seen as romantic. And there's nothing more public than a Jumbotron.
Mm-hmm.
So I think guys see it as, well, I'm putting it out there. That's really not romantic.
Yeah.
It's unless you're just a huge fan of the Red Sox and you are able to do it at Fenway. You know, that kind of thing. Someone else's wedding.
Yeah, no.
That ruins it for everybody.
Yes.
Or one of them said the delivery room, because that means you're a procrastinator. So hashtag bad proposal locations. Bad proposal locations. I mean, the phones are, as they say, fuller than a dog tick right now. There must be a lot of people that are not happy. Let's go over to Nicole in Dayton, Ohio. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, Bobby.
Thank you for calling. So, bad proposal locations. You're up first.
Okay, so I was out Christmas shopping, me and my boyfriend. It was like an outside mall, and we were walking past the jewelry store. He's like, well, let's go in here and just look at some rings, see if you like any of them. So we go in, we look at them. I picked one out, and he was like, well, let's just go ahead and order it now. So we order it. They call us, say it's ready, so we went to pick it up. And on the way out to the car, like in the parking lot, he's like, oh, by the way, I guess I should say, will you marry me?
Oh, man. And you're...
I know, right?
That's... Did you ever tell him, like, hey, I was really disappointed in that proposal?
Well, we went to a comedy show the other day, and somebody proposed at the comedy show, like it became part of the act, and he was like, how cheesy. I'm like, are you serious?
Nicole, man. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Have
Love
a great
you
day. Thank you very much. Let's go over to Rhonda in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hey, Rhonda.
Hey, what's going on?
Doing the show, talking about bad proposal locations. Thank you for calling. What is yours?
Well, we were together about 5 years, and we talked about getting married, but nothing panned out. So one day we're sitting in Sonic in Springdale, Arkansas, and he turns to me and says, well, I guess we should go ahead and get married.
At the Sonic drive-in?
I mean, did he use the onion ring? I mean, now...
Oh, that's cute.
I'm sure it was happy hour.
Oh, man. So did you ever tell him, hey, I never really liked how that proposal went down?
Oh, it was turned out to be a running joke for 10 years when we were married. So I was like, Sonic, really?
Hold on. When we were married. Did I hear that?
You did. 10 years later, it didn't work out.
Do you see 10 years as a heck of a run or 10 years like, wow, should have went a little longer?
A heck of a run.
Hey, yeah. A heck of a run it is. Amy won't clap.
No, that's good.
Let's go over to Brittany in Illinois. Brittany, hello.
Hi.
Thank you for calling. What do you have for us?
Okay, so I actually kind of married my rebound. I just got out of like a 2-year relationship. My friend set me up with this guy who was supposed to kind of like help me get back on my feet. It's been a couple of months. And I knew he was going to boot camp, so I had it in my mind, you know, this will be just like a couple of weeks. It'll be like a quick thing, in and out, like, no problem. Well, he started writing me from boot camp, and we got really close and really connected, and he called me one weekend on one of his weekend calls and was like, hey, I really want you in my life. This is what I want to do. I miss you. Will you marry me? And I don't know what made me do it, but I said yes. And then I went to his boot camp graduation, and he proposed again, like, got down in front of my family and everything and asked me.
That one sounds awesome, though.
He's been married 5 years.
Yeah, that one sounds awesome. I mean, like, that one turned out great.
Yeah.
For a minute, I was like, okay, on the phone. But that one, it turned out great. That one turned out great. And they're still together, and, you know, it's still a heck of a run. Heck of a run. We're going around the room. How were you proposed to, Amy?
I'm in a bar.
I don't think that's fair to say.
Well, we were at the bar. So we ate at a nice restaurant at a historic hotel in downtown Austin. And then it's got a really awesome balcony with a great view. And we went up to the bar after dinner. My husband, well, boyfriend at the time, ordered 2 glasses of wine. And then he said, you know, hey, to the bartender, what's the fastest way to get to the, you know, the balcony? And the bartender was like, oh, that way. But sir, it's closed tonight for a private party. And then my husband, like, I was like, okay, no big deal. Who cares? And my husband's demeanor just totally changed because his plan was ruined. So he just did it right there in the middle of the bar.
It's a really nice bar.
Sure,
though.
It still was awkward.
I would even say lounge.
Yeah.
Okay, it's very fancy.
Okay, fine. It was in a lounge with a piano player. You're right. Okay. But it was still, well, bars
and
have piano players.
And he tried to go somewhere. It just didn't work out.
But we just sat down on the couch, and the next thing you know, he's down on one knee, and we're like, everybody's looking.
Were you
like,
confused?
Yes, because I mean, hello, we'd only been dating like 6 weeks.
I know. It's like the only shotgun wedding without a baby I've ever heard of.
Yeah, and it was a work night, so like honestly I was just ready. I gotta go home because we have to wake up so early, and I was like, gotta get home. And I remember coming into work the next day and showing you my ring and you being like, oh my god,
I was like, oh,
is that real?
You've been with the guy 3 weeks. Dang. 10 years later.
Yeah. So it worked out, but we were supposed to be on a cool balcony, but we were in a lounge.
We're talking about bad proposal locations, and this is Kendall in Kansas. Hey Kendall.
Yeah.
Tell me, so this is your ex-boyfriend who proposed, right?
Ex-husband, yeah.
Ex-husband, okay. So tell me what happened.
So we were at an arm wrestling tournament.
I like it.
Yeah. And there was about, I had told him, we had talked about getting married. I had told him, you know, I think it'd be cool if it was, you know, like a lot of people around. So he took that as, I'm going to propose to you at an arm wrestling tournament with 300 people, 300 big arm wrestlers around.
So you didn't love it?
No, I was pretty surprised. And
I wonder what the reaction is like with those guys after you say yes. Are they like,
well, I didn't really say anything for a couple of minutes. The only thing I remember is finally some woman yelled out and said, you need to say yes.
And then you said yes?
Yeah.
And then it didn't work out?
Yeah, they just need to get pretty drunk that night.
Thank you, Kendall. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. Eddie, how'd you propose?
So I went to, when my wife and I were dating, we would, I'd go to her apartment complex, which is like a little, I guess kind of a townhome, but right in front there was like a, some railroad ties where we would sit and talk all night when we were dating. So when I decided to get engaged, to propose to her, I said, let's go back to your place and sit in that little area where we used to sit and talk. And we just hung out for like an hour. And then I was like, I got to do this.
Did she sniff it out?
No, she had no idea.
Really?
That's what she says, though. You don't know what to believe.
And you proposed.
Yeah, and I was already sitting, so
I was going to say.
So going down to the knee was really easy.
So you laid on your chest.
Yeah, I know.
You did the full worm, and you're like, will you marry me?
I'm like flat down, face on the ground.
Let's go to Crystal in Virginia. Hi, Crystal.
Hello.
Hello. Bad proposal location. Share with us your story, if you don't mind.
What had happened was I had driven up to Connecticut. My husband was in the Navy, and he was like, okay, well, I'm going to do it this weekend. My friend had kind of hinted at it. So what had happened was we went to IHOP. We were coming back home, and I had gotten T-boned. Well, while we were over at the gas station, he didn't even get down on one knee. He said, will you marry me? As I'm sitting there crying on the curb.
Wait, so you're crying because of a really bad accident, and he proposes then?
Yep, without a ring, without getting down on one knee.
Okay, can I be his advocate for 1 second? Because I don't know the whole story. Just what comes from my heart is you were feeling terrible because you had a really bad time and day. And yes, was it maybe not the best for the overall life story of a proposal? But in his heart, because we're dumb guys. Us guys,
we dumb. We cavemen.
And we're like, oh no, she feels bad. I want her to feel better. I probably am going to marry her anyway. I'm just going to do it now. Like, that's what I feel from me.
I so, like that. She crying. I propose.
She crying. I make her feel better. I, man.
Yeah. Like, you have to understand, Crystal, we're not smart, and he probably just wanted you to feel better. And you said yes, I assume.
Yes, I said yes. We've been married for almost 6 years.
And you're still together.
Yep.
Are you happy?
Oh, definitely.
See,
because
he can't. Look at that. Yeah. We may not make the best decision, like logically, but we, you know, guys, we have hearts. Mm-hmm. Like we follow them.
Sometimes we just don't follow the best way, the correct path.
All right, thank you for your call. Lunchbox, you going to tell us the truth?
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth.
All right, Lunchbox, here we go.
All right. All right.
First time ever.
Here we go. So I was on the phone with my wife, and we were discussing my brother's upcoming wedding. And we were going, and we were just talking about it, and she just casually said, you know, I'd like to get married. And I was like, what? And so we kind of went back and forth. I was like, okay, I guess we'll get married. And so then we were engaged, and a week later, she went with her mom and her sister and picked out a ring.
This is really the story?
Yeah, yes, I thought you were giving us the real story, finally.
So you always gave us the real story.
Yes, I always gave you the real story. And so a week later, after she picked out a ring with her mom and her sister, I flew back to Austin for my brother's bachelor party. And after the bachelor party, I had an hour and a half window between my flight and when the bachelor party was over. So I met her at the ring store. I went in, I paid for the money, and I put it on her hand, and the ring store took pictures, and then I went to the airport.
Wait, so did you ever get down on one knee? Ever?
No, I guess I didn't. Because
and you propose over the phone?
Yeah, and then they hand you a box at the ring store, and you just open it up, and they had the cameraman, and they took pictures, and
that's really it, huh?
Wow. That was it.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. I guess I'm the only one in the room that hasn't been a part of a proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait.
Correct.
Oh, it's going to be the most elaborate thing ever.
Let me just give you one word. Now I'll leave you with this one word.
Soon.
Pyro.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
If you're looking for a new TV show, which, hey, aren't we all? You got to check out TLC's show, Outdaughtered. It's a hit show. It's Amy here. And let me tell you, Adam and Danielle Busby, they have six daughters. The oldest is six, and she's the ringleader of her quintuplet sisters. That's right. There's five of them, and they're turning two. They're walking, talking, potty training. Welcome to Terrible Tuesdays on a new season of Outdaughtered, premiering July 11th at 9, 8 Central on TLC.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Oh, yes, Friday morning. Glad you're here. Batman got his name Batman because he was afraid of bats. What would your superhero name be if you were named after what you were afraid
That's
of?
That's really how he got his name?
Uh-huh. Because I would probably be like, Commitment Man.
That's so true. Ooh. You are. That's so true.
Like, I'll commit, but like, oh, Vulnerability Man.
Yeah.
That sounds so strong.
Yes. Do you need help? Vulnerability Man will be here to save you. Amy, if Batman got his name for being afraid of bats, what would your superhero name be?
I'd be like Spider-Man, but that already exists.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
What? First of all, you'd be Spider-Woman.
Oh, yeah.
Secondly.
Yeah. What? I'm scared of spiders. I know.
You know, I don't like iron.
Something's up.
I'll call myself Iron Man.
I know. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Cockroach Woman.
So you'd be...
That's gross.
Oh, boy.
That wouldn't be very... Oh,
what would you be again?
Cockroach Woman. Roach Woman.
Now, what about the other one?
I don't know, you guys.
Lunchbox, what would you be?
Forget this game.
Oh, I'd be the Snakeinator.
Yeah.
I'm terrified of snakes.
Snake Man.
Yeah, you have to be Snake Man.
The innator means you kill snakes.
Batman. Yeah, you're not a snake.
Like, I'm Vulnerability Man.
Is that what nader means?
Like Terminator? Exterminator. Terminator.
Oh. The Hulk. He's not the Hulk Man. So I guess, okay, fine. I'll be the Snake Man.
Whoa. Yeah.
Eddie?
I'd be the Home Burglar Man. Home burglars scare me.
Well, like, yeah.
That is the dumbest one.
What do you mean? I'm scared of them.
Think about this. Tonight, I'll be in Baton Rouge. Tomorrow, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll see you guys Funny and Alone Comedy Tour. Appreciate you being here on Friday.
Bobby Bones.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Amy, we've been here 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your favorite memory.
There's been so many cool moments, but for sure one that stands out is the time that you told me that George Strait was going to call me on the phone and I was going to get to talk to him during the show. And as I'm on the phone with him live, he walks through the door on the cell phone still talking to me. And it was like all just kinds of craziness. And I was like, what? You're here? And he came over and gave me a big old hug. And I was just...
It was one of the more fun pranks that so I've been able to pull. Because George Strait was coming in and I was like... It was just cool to be able to talk to him.
Yeah.
Just to talk to him, because he lives in Texas.
Yeah.
Not like he comes around all the time.
Nope.
And I was like, well, this is Amy's going to do a phone interview. And then while she, and he wasn't wearing the cowboy hat. He was wearing a baseball cap and a and he didn't look like the George Strait on stage. So Amy was totally confused why the same guy was talking to her at the same. And then she, and here it is. Here's George Strait walking in the studio from the phone. Go ahead.
Can you say that next time you're in town, you'll come by? Could you give us that promise for her?
Yeah, next time I'm in town, I promise I will come by.
Wait, there he is. He's here. He's here. Tricked us. Okay, well, I knew, but Amy didn't know.
How long have y'all known?
Amy didn't know.
Did you know?
Amy, give him a hug.
That was him. He went, and I mean, I think I was in shock. I barely could speak, and then I just hugged him probably for a little too long.
4 years of being able to do this. Thank you for letting a group of people that, you know, except for me, I'm the only one of this whole set that's ever been on the radio. Like, we are not supposed to be a radio show, much less be able to be where we are doing what we're doing. It's all because of you guys. So thank you. And we're going to share memories all throughout the show. But don't think that we don't know that if it wasn't for you listening, this ragtag bunch of goofballs wouldn't be on the radio. Like, I feel like our listeners are the underdogs. And we're the underdogs, and we just kind of run through this whole thing together. So we appreciate you. And so going over to Lunchbox now. 4 years, Lunchbox. I need that favorite memory from 4 years.
So many memories. So many cool people came in the studio. So many moments. Picking one was hard, but you guys blindfolded me, sat me in a chair, and then you put some people on the mic, and I had to guess who it was by their voice. And it was none other than two of the teen moms, Amber Portwood, Kaylin Lowry. Woo!
This is your favorite memory?
Favorite memory in the last 4 years. They came in the studio and I was like, "Whoa!"
Okay, Lunchbox loves Teen Mom. He loves 16 and Pregnant. Like, he loves those shows. So let's play. Do we have a clip of this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's Lunchbox meeting the teen moms. What are their names again?
Amber and Kaylin.
Okay, Amber and Kaylin. Here we go. On the count of three, Lunchbox, pull your eyes down. One.
Hurry up!
Two, three.
Boom!
Wait a minute. We have to tell our listeners who's here.
No one knows who's here.
Okay.
It's Amber and Kaylin. They're from Teen Mom 16 and Pregnant. Teen Mom 2, Teen Mom 1. Amber Portwood, Kaylin Lowry. What up?
There you go.
Amazing.
Lunchbox's favorite moment.
Wow.
That is amazing. All right, what happened this morning, Lunchbox?
I walk out of my house, and there's a couple doors down. There's a lady standing on the sidewalk yelling, Brittany! And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I get in my car, and as I'm driving down the street, she flags me down. And so I roll down the window, and she's crying, and she's like, can you give me a ride? My friend is chasing me. She's crazy, and I just need a ride. I need to get out of here. And I'm like, well, why don't I just call the police? She goes, no, I just need a ride.
It's also freezing cold.
It's freezing
Does
cold.
Does that factor into it to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay. And I let her in my car, and she's digging in her purse, and I'm like, she's about to rob me. And I'm like, why don't you just take your hands out of your purse?
Oh, you said that to her?
Yes, because I'm like, I'm a little on edge. You know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. And so she tells me where she lives, and I drive over there. And then she's like, no, this isn't it. And we're driving up and down the block for like 10 minutes, and she can't find where she lives. And I said, ma'am, I got to go to work. You got to get out of my car. And so I called her a Lyft. And then I sat there, and she was in the Lyft for 20 minutes because I watched it on my phone. And they stayed on the same block, and I texted the Lyft driver, and I was like, look, if she's giving you any trouble, just kick her out of the Lyft. I don't know her. And he goes, we just found her house, blah, blah, blah. She wasn't familiar with the area. She was staying, doing the Airbnb thing.
Had she had a bunch of drinks?
Oh, yeah.
That was it.
Yes, but I thought I was going to get killed.
Well, good on you, but I don't know that a lot of people make that because you're putting yourself way vulnerable. Someone going, got you.
Or I thought maybe she had a friend that was going to come from the other side of the car, you know, like when she's talking to me in this window and someone comes up on the, but she flagged me down. I felt like I couldn't just drive past her.
That's good on you, though.
Hey, gold star.
Do I have the gold star sound? Oh, here, Lunchbox. Gold star for you, my friend. Man, what a crazy story. Earlier on the show, Lunchbox was talking about picking up this woman. She was outside his house. It's still dark when we come into work, and she's screaming, Brittany! Brittany! And so he felt bad. You picked her up. You put her in the car, but then you get scared because you thought she was going to rob you.
Yeah, I got a little nervous, and I drove around where she said she was supposed to be going for like 10 minutes. Couldn't find the place, so I gave her the little boot. But I still called her a Lyft.
You did that. You're trying to act like it wasn't a big deal. That's a pretty selfless thing to do. I think that's a very nice thing to do.
Yeah, probably pretty dumb, too.
Depending on who you talk to, because Jack's on the phone right now. Jack is from Kentucky. Hey, Jack. This happened to you, bud?
It did, years ago. What? I was about 30 years old. I was living in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
And what happened?
Had a couple of guys, young guys, walk up to my parked car, and it was a cold December night just before Christmas. And the guy said, hey, we're foreign students, and they were speaking with an accent. They said, can you give us a lift to our place, the student housing on Western's campus, Western Michigan's campus? So I said, sure. You know, they got in the car. They said, gave me directions, and I knew where it was, so I headed that way. And we got there, and they said, oh, this is not the right place. And so I headed, they sent me somewhere else, and now I'm getting suspicious. They went into a store. They said, could you just stop here a minute? They come out with a bottle, you know, wrapped, you know, with a paper bag wrapped around it. And so I tell them at that time, hey, I got to get home. Family's waiting for me. And the next thing I know, I got stabbed in the back.
Oh.
Get out of my car. They put a knife to my throat. I got stabbed in the back, took off with my car as I got out. I went to the hospital, got stitches, all that kind of stuff.
Oh.
Police caught him, and the guy that stabbed me actually committed suicide a year later, the night before the trial. And the guy that drove the car away got 3.5 to 5 years. Turned out he was a serial killer.
What?
Who killed 4 other people. And I was mentioned in the Kalamazoo Gazette as being the only person who ever survived one of his contacts. So it was pretty crazy. So I'm with you, Lunchbox. You always got to think about it, man.
Oh, my goodness. Jack, man. Thanks. Wait, after hearing that story, would you pick her up again?
Yeah.
Are you lying?
No.
Okay.
If it was a man, probably not.
Okay, so that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, but I did tell her to take her hands out of her purse because she kept digging. I was like, I don't know what you're digging for.
That's crazy.
Man.
Jack, appreciate that call. And also, man, you're just so vulnerable when you do that. It's like you want to help people. You do want to help people. But then you like, would you ever pick up a hitchhiker?
Probably not a hitchhiker. But like,
I have before.
Really?
Yeah, I probably won't do that again now that I have kids and a family.
How old were you when you did that?
I was like right out of high school. Yeah, pretty dumb.
Amy, ever picked up a hitchhiker?
Well, I've taken someone that came to my door to the grocery store. My husband got mad about that, for sure.
Yeah.
She knocked on the door, she needed food, and I said, well, hop in the car, I'll take you to the grocery store, and I let her pick out whatever she wanted.
For me, I need to see the situation. Like, I've seen people with car trouble, and I've taken them. But I just won't pick up someone with no situation that I can see.
Yeah.
Like, I've come across someone and there's smoke or their hood's up and it's like, hey, I need help.
Yeah. I'm what like, if hey. They're yelling Britney?
No.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Eddie, why do you always think everything's about you being Mexican?
What do you mean, dude? What did I say this time?
Eddie's at the, I read the store and the fish guy came up.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you think Walmart. You would do that to a white person?
Because he straight up asked me, he's like, you Hispanic? I was like, yeah, maybe. And he's like, dude, I got some fish. You want to buy some? This is in the parking lot. And I was like, fish? Like, what do you mean? He's like, I got some in the back of the truck. I catch fish every single day. And I usually sell it to Mexican people. I'm like, straight up, we'll eat anything. I get it. I understand that.
Wait, so, what?
Yeah, he says he sells them $1 a fish.
Wait a minute. Was he white?
Yeah, he's a white dude. Real nice dude. Like, really nice guy. And he's like, no, I just, usually that's my market. Like, Mexican people. I'm like, well, okay, I get that. We love fish. And a deal, too. $1 a fish? Show me this fish.
Did you go look at the fish?
I did. He has bass. He had catfish. He had another one that I didn't recognize. But, yeah, man, like $1 a fish in the back of the truck.
Did you buy any fish?
No, I didn't buy fish from this dude's back of the truck. At first, I was like, that's a steal. Like, this is a good deal. Expensive fish inside the store, cheap fish in the parking lot.
It sounds like the guy that comes up to the gas station and goes, hey, you like music? Like, yeah, got the speakers in the back.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't do that. They'll throw you in the van and kidnap you.
You think this guy was trying to get me with fish?
I think the speaker probably sells you old crap, stolen speakers.
Like, oh, no.
It's mostly hot stuff.
That's the first thing I thought, too. This guy has stolen fish.
But how do you steal fish?
I don't know. Like, wait.
It's cookware.
You going and rob a fish store?
Yeah, or a fish farm.
But he really said that about you being Mexican?
Yeah, that's how he opened up the conversation. At first, I was like, oh, great. What does this guy want?
I'm you.
Yeah.
Walk up to me as the fish guy.
Hey, man, what's up?
How you doing, buddy?
Are you Mexican? And then will you say,
yeah, I am.
Hey, cool, man. Hey, look, I got some fish for $1 in the back of my truck. You interested?
Do they do this at home?
No, I've never been asked to buy fish in the back of a truck.
You've never been fish solicited?
No, like back when I was growing up, like you go to the shrimp boats or the fish boats, when they come in, they sell them off the boat. But no, not a dude in the parking lot.
Like racist dude trying to give you a deal?
Yeah,
like, that's like an oxymoron.
It's the Bobby Bones Show.
I got this story. 7 things every man should know how to do. So let's get away from the sexism part of it for a second.
Oh.
Because I bet it is. However, let's just see who's the manliest of the men, okay?
Nice.
All right. There's 7 things. And be honest if you know how to do it.
Yeah, be honest.
Of course,
I'm
always
honest.
Let's see who the most manly man is of us three here. Lunchbox, Eddie, and myself. Number 1, change a flat tire. Could you walk out and change a flat tire if somebody's car is broken down? Lunchbox.
Yes.
No problem.
No problem.
Eddie.
That's easy.
For me, it's also easy. Yes. I can do it with a jack, if I get a 4-way, I'm money, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're all there on that one. There's 7 things to be supposedly a man you can do.
Yeah.
Tie a necktie perfectly. Oh, you're out on that one.
Yeah.
Eddie.
I'm going to say I'm average on that. It's not perfect. It's always a little crooked. A little bit.
We're going with the honor system. Yes or no?
Yes.
You go, ooh.
Yes. You just said that it's crooked, and then you're going to say yes.
I said it's average. Yes.
I wear one of my stand-up shows every night.
Oh, so you're really good at it.
That's like the best thing I'm good at of all this. Yes.
Yeah. The necktie.
Yeah.
You don't just leave it tied? That's what I do.
I wear different ties every time.
Oh, you're crazy.
Change your own oil. Can you, if you had to put your car over and change your own oil, could you do that? Lunchbox.
Yes.
Oh, I don't buy it.
Oh, no, he's way. Challenging you.
No,
okay,
way.
This may be a bit. Okay, but go ahead. Yeah. Eddie, can you?
For sure I can change oil.
I can't. I don't change oil.
I mean, I kind of even want to see Eddie change a tire.
Oh, Amy's challenging that. Wow.
A tire?
Okay.
I wouldn't challenge him.
Keep
on
your
that
own
one.
Score, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So far I got 2. Anybody have 3?
I have 3.
Okay.
Eddie can do everything.
How to grill.
Come on.
I mean, I can do it. Am I great at it? Nah.
But are you like, would your wife be proud of you for how good you are at it? That's the question. For being a man, like, you're good at it.
No.
No, okay. I'm also going to go no on that one. I know how to
Bobby,
do it.
You can do it.
Amy, but I don't feel like I'm, like, really good at it.
Yeah, I think you can.
But I don't, I mean, I can, but I'm going to go no. Eddie?
Okay. I'll let you answer this one for me. You've tasted my grilling.
Well, you tasted mine.
I'm the grill
good.
Master,
okay.
Dude.
I'll accept that.
So that's a yes.
Eddie's dominating. How to
Eddie's
unhook
the manliest man.
That's not true. That's why this story
is
this
hilarious.
Keep going.
How to unhook a bra with one hand.
Yes. Oh. No doubt. I'm the record holder on this show. We did it.
That's true.
I can do it. No
you
problem.
You can do it?
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay. Dude, back in the day, I could do it. No problem. Now, can't even.
Oh, you're pulling yourself out of this
yeah.
one?
How do you lose that?
I don't know.
I thought they ride the bike, dude.
I tried it the other day. It didn't work.
Okay. I got 3 now.
Okay.
Yeah, on
Lunchbox.
How to jump start a car.
Yes.
Yes.
That one. We can all do that one?
Of course.
And then how to shoot a gun.
Yes.
I can. I'm the best. I'm.
What?
By far.
The best?
The most experienced with firearms on this show. By far.
I have a license.
I'm not talking about pistols. I'm not talking about pee-pee shooters. I'm talking about when I was a kid, you go up in Arkansas, at 9 years old, I got a 410.
Man.
And then I got a 20 gauge. And then I got a 12 gauge. And then I got a 30-06. I mean, I grew up with guns.
We might have to go shoot some skeet sometimes, Bobby. How fun would that be?
I ended up with 4 points. Eddie?
6, dude. I'm a man.
How did you have 6? You only missed 1?
Yeah, I just missed 1.
Even though his tie is crooked, he says he ties it perfect.
So a good man does lie.
A good man lies?
Yeah, they tend to lie over exaggerate.
What did you get?
I got 4,
four.
Dude, what you need to work on that.
Get? Lunchbox, you get?
Well, I can shoot a gun, so
no, come on. You don't even like guns. You hate guns.
You're right, but I can shoot one.
No, see, now four. It's gotten into a wiener thing.
Four.
Yes.
Four.
Is it always though?
But I'm more manly than Bobby, so I got like 4.2.
But I know sports and Eddie doesn't.
That's true.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, it's a tie. I win. It's a tie.
Let's go.
Bobby Bones.
Bobby Bones Show.
Thank you guys for hanging out. The whole show's up. Just go to iHeartRadio and search Bobby Bones Show on demand. On Instagram, Mr. Bobby Bones. Appreciate you guys being here.
The Bobby Bones Show.
If you're looking for a new TV show, which, hey, aren't we all? You got to check out TLC's show, Outdaughtered. It's a hit show. It's Amy here. And let me tell you, Adam and Danielle Busby, they have six daughters. The oldest is six, and she's the ringleader of her quintuplet sisters. That's right. There's five of them, and they're turning two. They're walking, talking, potty training. Welcome to Terrible Tuesdays on a new season of Outdaughtered, premiering July 11th at 9, 8 Central on TLC.